You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores!
Goal!
Scoring the goals!
He shoots, he scores!
Goal!
Scoring the goals!
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries are here to look at the best of the Championship action this weekend. Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross will be along later for Leagues 1 and 2. Firstly, hello, Mr. Farries.
Hello.
You all right?
Yes. Yeah, tired, but excited because, you know, this is one of my favourite parts of the whole week, talking to you, Alex. I mean, I appreciate that I talk to you outside of this as well. But when I talk to you and other people can download it, it just adds an extra frisson.
What a treat. For you and listeners.
Yeah.
It's been a while, I think, since I've done this. I was off last week, and I'm off next week as well. So this is almost a rarity.
You need to work, boy.
I do, yeah. I'm sorry. We've got three Championship games to focus on, three televised ones, and then you're going to look at the 3 o'clock games on Saturday. We'll start with Barnsley Forest. It's the Friday night game coming up at 7:45. Barnsley are 6-4. The draw is 12-5, and Forest are 19-10. Two sides who, on their day, are very, very capable. Barnsley had a fantastic start to the season. Form plateaued a little bit, but they are now unbeaten in four and sit in 15th spot. Nottingham Forest, largely frustrating, I think it's fair to say. But away to Ipswich last weekend in front of the Sky cameras proved that when they are good, they can produce results. Granted, Ipswich aren't in the best form of late, but still, that was a decent Forest performance. They'll be looking to follow that up here. Tricky game to call, I thought, this one, Pete.
Rock hard is the answer. But there was one bet that certainly shone out to me, Alex, which was the draw at 12-5. I know the Forest don't draw a lot of games away from home. They've drawn twice away from home this season in total. Yet, you know, that win over Ipswich you mentioned was their first away win of the season. And a kind of contrasting pair of teams that they've drawn at, really. They drew at Rotherham and they drew at Villa. So kind of a weird contrast in terms of quality of teams. Barnsley, three of the last five home games, draws. Three games in a row, a draw. Before that, they beat Brentford. They lost. I don't think anyone can blame them against Newcastle. And yeah, they had a sticky run. It did coincide, of course, with Tommy Wright leaving the club, who was an incredibly popular member and an incredibly important part of what Paul Heckingbottom had done at Barnsley. So Tommy Wright, of course, needing to leave, that I think did affect them pretty badly. Forest were ruthless as hell, weren't they, you know, against Ipswich. I mean, I'd barely sat down to watch my nap of the week Ipswich when Forest smashed one in, and it was like, oh, great, well, this is how it's going to go. So they were really good, and you're right, they do on occasion. I remember when they played, was it Birmingham a couple of weeks ago as well? They were really, really good that day too. So they have these moments, Forest, but still not enough of those moments to make me want to back them on the outright. The problem being that, yeah, okay, Barnsley have lost, what, just one of the last five, and it was to Newcastle. But at the same time, you know, a lot of draws. They should have beaten Wigan last Saturday, killed Mayaka, selfishly. But they should have beaten Wigan last weekend. I was watching the game, watched the whole game, and I don't understand how they didn't, but they didn't. So there's real quality there as well. There was a fair few bets, though, that jumped to mind. So first of all, the draw at 12-5. Secondly, the match result in both teams to score at 3-1. Now, I know that it was a 0-0 against Wigan, but they did have chances, Barnsley. And to be fair, so did Wigan. Other than that, they drew at home against Bristol City, BTTS landed. Drew at home against Villa, BTTS landed. For Forest, their two away games that they've drawn this season, BTTS landed. So I keep saying BTTS, I've never said that before, but I quite like it. The draw is 3-1 with the result of both in the score, and the draw is 3-1. I quite like that. I think that's a decent price. Mm. It's certainly the way I'd go, especially because there's some quite good players in the goal-scoring market. I mean, you look at the price on Asom Belonga, and this guy, who, don't forget, is very, very good and was incredible before a massive long-term injury, which really hurt Forrest for a long time. He got a brace against Ipswich. He scored against QPR. And you're getting odds against Britt Asom Belonga to score. Now, you know, Velius has had a good season. Henry Lansbury should always carry some of your money at 14-5, in my opinion. But Asom Belonga is just really good value. See, I was trying to think of a sort of a la-di-da way of saying it, but I think he's just a really good bit of value.
I think if you are going to back Asamoah Longo at 23-20, which I personally I thought was a little bit short, but I agree with everything you said. I think he's a fantastic player. Asamoah Longo to score, Forest to win, 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1, is 7-1. Now, I know that you're not hell-bent on Forest winning this. I understand that. But 7-1's massive, and I think that if Forest are going to win, it'll be 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1. And I think that if Forest are to win, Asamoah Longo will score. So you put those together and 7-1 makes some appeal. Or you can just back Asamoah Longo to score, Forest to win at 4s. That's pushed out from 14-5. But I certainly think if you are looking for a pro-Forest bet, you've got to include him in it.
Yes, I would agree. Or Lansbury, certainly, but one of the two. But he's in good form, Asamoah Longo. But the draw is the way I went here. Alex, I couldn't find a winner here. But then I thought, well, that doesn't matter, because if you can't find a winner, then you're talking about the draw, and that straight away just jumped to mind. The other thing worth looking at is there have been relatively early goals in Forest's games recently away from home. So 11th minute against Blackburn, okay, 28th minute against Cardiff doesn't count. 10th minute away at Reading as well. So you're talking about the last two away games, they've had early goals. There was an incredibly early goal, of course, in their last away game at Ipswich, where it landed in the first minute. So there have been big, quick starts recently, not necessarily for and not necessarily against them. But there is, of course, the time of goal market, the goal time market. So you might want to look at time of first goal up to and including the 15th minute, say at 15 to 8. Could be interesting for you. Score draw, though, for me.
Okay. We'll move to the Saturday tea time kickoff. Rotherham against Leeds. Rotherham are in the betting at 14-5. The draw 23-10. And Leeds are 11-10. Rotherham, as we record this, are 25-1 on to get relegated. They are really struggling at the bottom of the table. They need to start picking up points sooner rather than later. But the beauty of the Championship is there are so many games, and so many games that you can actually pick points up in, that genuinely, if Rotherham can just get a sequence of wins together, who knows, they might just get out of it. This is a big game for them, because in previous years, games between these two have been pretty entertaining. We've had the Steve Evans factor, the Neil Redfern factor, and they've shared wins. Rotherham have got a decent record, actually, against Leeds. Leeds were riding the crest of a wave before Newcastle came into town last weekend. They put up a decent showing there, a mistake by Rob Green, perhaps a refereeing decision going in Newcastle's favour. They still maybe lack a little bit of quality, but they're coming up against a side that arguably have the least quality in the division here.
Yeah, they still lack a little bit of a cutting edge, Leeds, I think. But again, I'm not going to hold it against any team losing against Newcastle. They'll be disappointed the way they conceded the first, you're absolutely right. I mean, let's not beat around the bush, though. Newcastle deserved to win that game. Even without the mistake, you know, Newcastle deserved to win that. And let's be fair as well, I mean, they're going to win the league, so don't care about that. Rotherham are a poor side. It's sad. I mean, Kenny Jackett is the right appointment for me. He obviously did very well for other clubs when they've been relegated, just getting them sorted out, getting them reorganised. I like him. But I don't think the quality is there.
Mm.
Now, yes, there is that great stat that you mentioned. Four of the last six meetings between the two sides, Rotherham have won. Four of six. I mean, there's a couple of cup games in there as well. But that is still an impressive record. But those weren't this Leeds side, were they?
No.
Let's be fair, those weren't this Leeds side. And also, don't forget, I mean, I know it was a crazy game last time, wasn't it? But it was a last-minute penalty, wasn't it, after Silvestri was sent off, if memory serves, that won Rotherham the game. Mm. So again, those are things that you can't really factor in. I think if you're Gary Monk right now, well, after that Newcastle game, you say to your players, look, you weren't great, we need to work on some things, but that was Newcastle, they're going to win the league, don't worry about it. And I really think that that'll be the approach, certainly the approach that I would take, albeit that I imagine Gary Monk's a better manager than I would be. But 11-10 any time, odds against for Leeds, is perfectly fair, because then you go to the away form. They've won three of the last five away from home, and yeah, they needed a late wonder goal against Norwich to do it, and an own goal against Wolves to do it, I suppose. But it doesn't matter, they've still won three of their last five away from home. Rotherham haven't scored in two of their last three at home. Again, though, let's be fair, Newcastle and Reading, the clean sheets there. I just think 11-10 is an absolute beauty, don't you?
Yeah, I don't mind Rotherham, but then you look at their actual form and you go, well, hang on. just the one win, that was at home to Brentford in August. Interesting, if you are a bettor that goes on patterns, if you like. They've drawn four games this season, Rotherham. All of them have been 2-2. Could just be a play if you fancied him to nick something. But that is purely a pattern play, if you like.
Yeah, they have taken 4 points from their games against the other two bottom three. So they got a home win against Blackburn, didn't they? And a draw against Wigan, didn't they? 1-1 draw against Wigan.
Yeah.
So you know, they're unbeaten against the teams at the bottom of the table. I suppose you could argue that. They beat Cardiff, who were fourth bottom. You could say that as well, of course. They beat Burton, who were fifth bottom. They beat Wolves, who were sixth bottom. So if you look at the games here, they've beaten 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, and drawn with 23rd. They've got a good record against those teams at the bottom of the table, haven't they?
Mm.
So the fact of the matter is that Leeds are the play for me at 11 to 10. Now, you know, at this point you're starting to pick out players who are quite obvious to a certain extent, but Chris Wood's been playing well. He's 11 to 10 anytime, takes penalties, which of course Leeds should have had against Newcastle, Alex, as you well know.
Yeah.
Has 3-5, 8 in the league in total this season. 11 to 10. I mean, just smother me up in that. I'm more than happy with that. And to be honest, I could see both teams to score it. It is, you know, it is prevalent in the head-to-heads between these two. It has landed in three of the last five Rotherham games. It has landed in three of the last five Leeds games. So you could take a little peek at something like your both teams to score, which is 4-5 yesterday. It's 4-6 now. But I just think that is a play. And I've got to say, the enhanced odds offer there, Chris Wood to score and Leeds to win from 15-8 to 5-2, or what could be a good bet as well is Wood score leads to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, which is up from 5-6s.
Nice. Right, we'll move to the Monday night game. Huddersfield against Wigan. Huddersfield even money, the draw 23-10. Wigan are 16-5. Wigan, another side that are struggling down at the bottom of the table. Their form isn't quite as bad as Rotherham's. They've been a little bit unfortunate in some of their games so far. They are picking points up, and even though they're currently sitting in 23rd, a couple of good results, and they'll be sitting pretty comfortably in 18th or so. But they do need to get some wins. As do Huddersfield, to be fair. I think they're still having a fantastic season, but their early season form has definitely dipped off a little bit. And recent away performances at Preston and then at Fulham and at Cardiff have been disappointing. Their home form still remains pretty solid, though. The only loss was at home to Sheffield Wednesday. That was also in front of the Sky cameras. Potential banana skin this for Huddersfield, but at the same time, if you take the two sides and what they've done so far this season, there'll be a lot of people looking at that even money and saying, yeah, I'm quite happy with that.
And I am. Wigan were the worst away side in the league, if you remember, a couple of weeks back, Alex. They've since improved, tightened up. They've drawn at Brentford, great result. Elland Road, great result. Beat Cardiff, didn't they? Away at Cardiff. And then drew 0-0 with Barnsley last time. But like I said earlier, I watched that game and Barnsley should have won it by like 3-1, to be honest, or something. It was crazy. And again, you've quite rightly mentioned the fact that Huddersfield's form has fallen off a cliff, and the fact that they're fourth is great, but it isn't a solid fourth, is it? Because it's actually just where they've drifted to from a great start. But the operative word is away there, isn't it? Because at home, like you say, they've been very decent indeed.
Yeah.
Still managed to beat Derby, drew with Birmingham, lost narrowly to Sheffield Wednesday, and of course, that was a game where they weren't great, but it was still a penalty from Forestieri that separated the two. So I look at it and I think, well, hang on, Huddersfield are still at even money, the play. And Huddersfield by a goal, so minus one, plus one on the handicap tie, is 13-5. Now, how many goals have Huddersfield won at home this season? Six. How many of those six wins have come by a goal, Alex?
Six.
Correct, albeit quite weirdly said. six. Yeah, so it is an incredible sort of run of form, really. Now, even money, because of their form lines, one win in five, is maybe not the sexiest. But even though Wigan have tightened up, do we see them scoring even? I mean, I know they were scoring at first. I think they scored in the first four away games, didn't they? They then went two without scoring, then two with and one without now against Barnsley, where, to be fair, they probably could have scored, but they wouldn't have won. I just look at this and think, well, it's really counterintuitive because I like the even money. If I'm analysing this independently, looking at the stats, looking at the form, generally it's Huddersfield. But then there is a feeling that Huddersfield are just dropping away after that big start, and at what point can they kick back on? So it's quite a weird one. I mean, the last time Wigan went to Huddersfield, a couple of years ago now, obviously, they drew 0-0. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really mean anything. But just, I can't see another 0-0 here. I can see a Huddersfield win. I can see a low Huddersfield win. So even if you don't like the Huddersfield by a goal, which gives you 2-1, 3-2, 1-0, you could play Huddersfield in unders on the goals, which I thought was okay value, actually, at 13-5, considering how many they win by a goal, some 2-1, some 1-0. But it came down to one bet in the end for me, which I thought was the best, which is Elias Kachunga. 4-5 at home so far this season. He's a guy who absolutely loves playing at home. 13-8 at any time is a perfectly fair price. And if you expect low on the goals, you can always move more towards your first or your last at 9-2. Huddersfield are the play, though, aren't they?
I think so. Yeah. Hard to get away from, aren't they? Certainly at that price. Are you going to throw a nap in now, or are you going to mention it in your 3pm?
I'm going to mention it in my 3pms, because okay. My naps don't come in the three TV games this afternoon.
Interesting. Right, well, with that lovely tease, I will hand back over to Pete for his thoughts on the Championship. Off the back of this, we'll hear Gav Pushilovsky on League One, and off the back of that, we'll hear Al Ross on League Two. The League Podcast will be back next weekend. I won't be here, but someone else will be sitting in the presenter's chair. Best of luck with your bets this weekend, everybody, and the same to you, Pete.
Thank you, good luck, mate.
And I'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, so Ipswich were a bad pick last weekend for a nap. I'll hold my hands up. I saw a side whose form wasn't phenomenal, but I still took a little bit of a risk. There'll be no such risk taken this weekend. I'm backing against them. QPR, of course, started life nicely under Ian Holloway. They did get an early hand, of course, from Olsen's red card for Norwich. But generally speaking, QPR deserved that from the very start. Had big chances to win that game, of course, at a variety of points. Disallowed goal, big penalty shouts. But in the end, 2-1 victors, of course, at Loftus Road. Away from home this season, by the way, they've not been bad. They've lost at Barnsley, they've lost at Huddersfield, and they've lost at Sheffield Wednesday. Three away losses is not awful at all, especially when you consider where they were sitting in the league until recently. So I'm very intrigued by the 12-5 here on QPR. I certainly couldn't play that Ipswich bet at 23-20. I suppose going for Ipswich was that stat we used last weekend. They haven't had the same result twice in a row. Well, more than once, was it really? It was two back-to-back draws earlier in the season. But I think QPR are value here at 12-5. I really do. Idrissa Seah been scoring well. Three of his last four away games, Idrissa Seah has scored. So that price, you know, is a very, very good one on Idrissa Seah with that kind of record. 13-5 anytime. We all know my enjoyment of Chiar and Cherry. He's 14-5 anytime. On the Ipswich side, they have been struggling for goals, and the likes of McGoldrick, Best, Ward, Varney, maybe not the best value. Sears, who did have 2-2 going into that game against Forest, is 11-4. But I think that a Nottingham Forest side, who hadn't won away from home, going to beat Ipswich at home, I worry about Ipswich on their own turf. So therefore, the 12-5 on QPR is amazing. And remember this bet, folks, 11-8, draw no bet QPR as well. The next one's maybe a little bit of a tighter one, really. That's Brighton at 10-11 against Fulham, who are 14-5, and the draw 23-10. Brighton, well, they were very decent against what is a very solid and increasingly dangerous Villa side. That 1-1 draw, of course, just back 1-1 draw in all Villa games from here on out was probably the best piece of advice I can give you, but they are still phenomenal. They sit second in the league, yes, now 5 points away from what looks like an already promoted Newcastle United. But Brighton's home form is so, so good. You don't win here unless, really, they make a mistake, as they did that day, twice, in fact, against Scott Hogan and Brentford. But away from home, Fulham, yes, it's not been bad. They've drawn at Wigan, at Forest, won at Barnsley, won at Brentford, which is a very good victory. But look at the teams in depth here. They've won at Preston North End. Are they as good or anywhere near as good as Brighton? No. At Blackburn? No. At Leeds? No, they've got a draw there. What about Wigan? No, they've got a draw there. Forest? No, they've got a draw there. They beat Barnsley, they beat Brentford. Good results. But the last time they went to a what I think will increasingly be a very difficult team to beat, i.e. Villa, they lost 1-0, albeit relatively late, Jonathan Kodjia goal. 10-11 for Brighton is, in my mind, an absolutely superb bet this weekend. And Glenn Murray, of course, who we all have seen and all talked about his improvement in form, of course. He got a big money move and then got a nasty injury and was out for so long. And it took him so much football and so much training to get back. And at 33, you've got to give him credit. He has found a way to get back into things here. 33, and for me, he may even chase that amount of goals down this season. He has been that good so far. 10 already in the league. A hat-trick, of course, at home against Norwich. He scored on telly the other day against Villa. Before that at home, he scored against Preston. Before that at home, he scored a brace against Barnsley. He loves the Amex, and he is scoring goals. 23-20 any time is very, very good. Fulham have been under the radar and have had a cracking season. I mean, their last five games, they've lost just the once, haven't they? To Villa. And their wins, the likes of Brentford, the likes of Huddersfield, who they obliterated at Craven Cottage, are really good results. Fulham aren't a bad side. This isn't about a good team against a bad team. This is about a promotion-elect side, which is what I think Brighton are, against a side who, away from home, have only taken points against what I think are teams who are gettable. So therefore, for me, 10-11 Brighton, a definite play. So how has this happened? Is the way I would phrase the talk about Reading here. They sit third in the Championship. They are looking so good. And one, in fact, one pundit, I think Martin Allen of Barnet, compared them to the likes of Barcelona recently, which is a bit crazy. But they have been phenomenal. Four back-to-back league wins without conceding. They are superb at the Medeski as well. Yes, they lost to Villa, but that's it. They've had Brighton go there and draw. They've been such a well-organised, ruthless side, Reading. And I don't think anyone, I mean, I certainly didn't, would have seen this coming. So you've got to go back here to the value on them, especially because Bristol City so far this season have won just twice away from home. They won at Brighton 2-1 very early in the season, but that was a last-minute Tammy Abraham goal, and they battered Fulham 4-0, for which I think they deserve a huge amount of credit. But of late, they've gone to Cardiff, they've gone to QPR, they've gone to Birmingham and lost at all of those places. And is the Medeski harder than all of those? You betcha it is harder than all of those. I was stunned that at time of recording, Reading at 5-4, they were odds against for this match this weekend. That, to me, is incredible value. Now, Reading aren't really having one man score all the goals. You look at their, for example, last five home games, Behrens, Evans, Kermigan, McCleary, Gunter, Samuel, Williams and a John Brayford own goal. So I got a little bit kind of nervy about a goal scorer and looked instead toward the handicap markets, because Bristol City away from home don't get battered. In fact, three of the losses that they've had away from home, the most recent three, Cardiff, QPR and Birmingham, have been by a goal. And yes, you can of course play that on the winning margin live market, which in this case anyway is 3-1. But I'm going further, because I looked at the 7-2 minus a goal here, Reading. I think they will have a very, very, very good weekend, Reading, and therefore 7-2 is great. I want to be with them. They're not conceding. And even though, you know, Bristol City do score, even though Bristol City aren't losing by much away from home, I think we can take the stretch on this game this weekend, and Reading minus one at 7-2 would be a play. So what's the nap of the weekend then? Well, I love Reading at 5-4. I love QPR, of course, draw no bet at 11-8. And I think the Brighton at 10-11 are great value. And it came down in the end to two markets. QPR 11-8, draw no bet, or Reading 5-4. And because they're not conceding, and because they're scoring, and because they're winning, my nap of the weekend is going to be Reading at odds against 5-4. Whatever you're backing, whatever you're doing this weekend, the very best of luck. Let's hope for a return to form in the naps table.
Here are my three best bets for this weekend's League One action, starting with two sides trying to drag themselves clear of the bottom four. Coventry are 13-8, they're just above the bottom four, and MK Dons at 13-8 is a pick'em, who are in the bottom four. Coventry have lost one at home all season, last time out at home to Scunthorpe, who are flying high, of course, and they did deserve more from the game, did the Sky Blues. MK Dons, disappointing defeat for them on Tuesday night, 3-2 at home to Chesterfield, and that firmly keeps them in the bottom four. Coventry at home have scored two goals in four of five at home, and of those four games, they have won three and have drawn the other. MK Dons' away form is actually better than their home form. They've only lost three on the road all season in League One, but they have conceded two or more in those three defeats. And in fact, six times this season, MK Dons have conceded two or more. And of those six games, they have lost five and drawn the others. So MK Dons, when they tend to concede two or more, they lose. And Coventry at home at the moment are tending to score two goals. So Coventry is my play at 13-8. If it comes down to a pick'em, as it does, both are 13-8. But there's a better bet for me, which is both score, no draw, same price, 13-8. I think that's a safer bet. I think there'll be goals. I think there'll be a winner. So my play between Coventry and MK Dons is both score, no draw at 13-8. My second bet is my Nap selection, which is Scunthorpe at 10-11. I see no reason to oppose them at home to Oxford. Scunthorpe, 5 wins in 5, 15 points out of 15, 4 clean sheets in 5 games, 6 points clear at the top, the best goal difference in League 1. Oxford away from home have lost 6 of 9. They have scored in 4 of their last 5 on the road, so they could be good for the goal, but Scunthorpe at 10-11 is just good and solid, and it's in there as my Nap selection and my second bet. My third bet is two teams just outside the playoffs and Wimbledon at home to Fleetwood. Wimbledon is my play at 21-20. Wimbledon's last 5 home games, 2 in the Cup, 3 in the league, they've scored 14 goals in 5 games, helped admittedly by those 2 games against Bury where they've scored 10 in 2. Fleetwood away have lost 4 in 5, and those 4 defeats have all been 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. Fleetwood have only won 2 games away from home so far this season, and they've kept a clean sheet in both victories. Wimbledon have only failed to score in 1 league game at home this season. So when Fleetwood tend to concede, they do tend to lose, and Wimbledon are scoring plenty at home at the moment. That's why I fancy Wimbledon at 21-20. Over 2.5 goals at 10-11 is a play. Both score no draw, 8-5. Wimbledon and both teams score as a play, but I like Wimbledon at 21-20. So my three bets for this weekend in League One are Coventry, MK Dons, both score no draw at 13-8. Scunthorpe, my Nap selection at 10-11. And Wimbledon at 21-20. Add all that up, it's just over 9-1.
Three last week, including the outsider landing and let down by the Nap. The early season auto selections are over, it seems. Plymouth losing at home last week, followed up by another loss in midweek. Carlisle dropping points again against Grimsby in the week and needing 2 goals in the last 2 minutes to beat Exeter last weekend. Both are still odds on for this weekend, which makes them too risky for me. Although Carlisle's brilliant home form still makes them tempting if you fancied. Newport at the bottom are even starting to win matches, so the only one of the surefire week-in, week-out assurances that keeps happening is Doncaster, and boy, would they have enjoyed those midweek fixtures. Donny had the midweek off, and now have a struggling Leighton Orient side coming to try and breach what remains an unbeaten home record. If Donny win their game in hand, they're only 2 points off the top, so the team talk writes itself. They've been given an opening by Plymouth and Carlisle, and they have to stay in touch. They face an Orient side whose defeat at home to Blackpool last week and midweek defeat at home to Exeter has seen Exeter go above Orient and pushes them into the bottom three again. Orient picked up 14 points in a run back in August, but they only have 18 points in total. The reason for that is the last 14 matches in all competitions, their form reads 2 wins, 1 draw, 11 defeats. A club record, 8 defeats in a row at home, failing to score in 5 of those. Now, this is an away game, but arguably the hardest away game in the league. Are you really giving them a prayer here? The bottom line is that even with Orient's purple patch back in August, Doncaster have won more points at home this season than Orient have points, full stop. 4-5 on Doncaster looks like the closest thing to a surefire bet in League 2 this weekend. Orient will also be worried about the form of teams around them, particularly Newport, where Graham Wesley's made some shrewd loan signings to bolster an otherwise very poor squad. but their recent run was halted in midweek by another team that's coming into a purple patch, Wickham. I made a lot about Wickham's injuries at the start of the season. 5 points from their opening seven games justified that. 17 points, though, in the 10 games since shows the difference now that Miles West and Luke O'Neill, Michael Harriman, Paul Hayes, Paris Cohen-Hall, Danny Rowe and Nick Freeman are all back and fit. All of them were out at the same time at one stage. Tino Giambati's free kick at Newport was enough for all 3 points in the week. That is now three league wins in a row, and they host Hartlepool. Now, Hartlepool at home, not too bad. On the road, though, three defeats in a row, four defeats in six overall. Wickham are even money. That'll do. If you want more, Wickham and both teams to score is 16-5. Now, Wickham at evens, great for the Acca. Wickham at 16-5. For them to win and both teams to score, considering 19 goals in Wickham's last six games, 11-4 but 8 against. The last six for Hartlepool, 21 goals. 10 of those four, at least one in every game, 11 against. For a value price, probably the best this week and worth a punt, I would think. And I did lie at the start, there is one more universal League 2 truth, and that is that Exeter at home are awful. A home draw with Grimsby is their only point at St James's Park all season. A 2-1 win over Accrington in January is their only league win at home in the last year. That was in January. Luton are the visitors. They've lost against Portsmouth in the week, but Portsmouth are flying at the moment. They'd be in this Acca if they weren't so short at 6-10 at home to Stevenage. Luton had won the previous two in the league before that and also the FA Cup match before that. They won that FA Cup match 3-1, and that was at Exeter. Yes, odds against 13-10 for Luton to beat Exeter again this weekend. Doncaster the Knapp at 4-5, add Wickham and Luton for a 7.28-1 treble.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.